yeah, yeah. Who's back? EG3 to 3.
Why, man?
Welcome in, y'all. That's I'm recording this edition of the podcast, June 9th, Wednesday, 2021. All-Star Weekend is upon us for the Cup season. Truck season is going to be our racing as well. You know the deal is, Rewind NASCAR podcast, all about the years in the world of motorsports, in World Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, in the NASCAR Cup Series, the previous edition, and all of motorsports are back in Kansas, folks. And after behind, actually, five days in from returning from vacation, Wyoming, at least part that we were in, where me and the team were in, was pretty nice. Yellowstone was awesome, the mountains were pretty good, and you went from cooler tips to the hot in the Manhattan, Kansas, and the action could get even hotter with the All-Star Race down in Fort Worth, Texas this weekend. Oh boy, and don't forget, we got the All-Star Open as well. The action was hot on the road course, but hey, at the end of the day, Angie Almendinger and Kyle Larson put on clinics this past weekend down there. And my special guest here, who should be calling in here very shortly, as I'm doing this for the second time, accidentally hit stop on the first attempt. I had something going the first time, but that's out. So now I'm doing this again. Hopefully this will be better. But hey, we got the good stuff anyways coming up here with my special guest here, who I met in episode 100 of the Loose Lugs podcast. That's none other than Dalton Good. Kyle Busch, super fan, will be with me here in a matter of moments. We're going to dive into all things Sonoma and Mid-Ohio. Obviously get his takes on the All-Star Weekend this weekend, if he's going to watch or not. He had a funny tweet yesterday that stumbled on that as well. Get his thoughts on Kyle Busch's season to this point. Obviously Kyle Busch won in KC a few weeks back as well. But Kyle Larson has been on some kind of roll. He will lead the field to green as good grief. I'm gonna leave it at that. Anyways, that's freaking frustrating. There, every time you get to 500, you lose the game. So yeah, it's been a frustrating year and damn closer. But anyways, Kyle Larson won another race there. And I mentioned on the podcast last week, talked about it. I mean, Hendrick Motorsports, Joe Gibbs, but I did not think, I mean, I knew Kyle Larson was going to be good, but I didn't think he was going to be this good as well. So, but anyways, red light is flashing. Time to take a timeout when we return to the podcast. Dalton Good, next, here on the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast.
Listening to the 3-Wide Podcast with EG3.
We'll be right back.
recording midweek, June 8th, 2028. Welcome back to the podcast. Of course, before I bring on my special guest for the episode, of course, you can find me on Twitter at Eddie_EG3. And again, 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Find it wherever you download podcasts, whether that's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and more. 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, officially heading in to the dog days of summer. And now, folks, on the line, I met him at, well, actually not at, but during a podcast, Loose Lugs Podcast number 100, Kyle Big, Kyle Busch fan. Welcome on to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3, none other than Dalton Good. Dalton, what's going on, brother?
Not much, man. I'm as good as my last name. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay there. Another frustrating loss there by the Braves, who can't get over 500. They haven't been over 500 all year. Led 1-0 all game, and then a closer gives up a 2-run bomb to end the game.
Not a baseball fan yet, but like I'm pretty much waiting for a Nashville team, to be honest with you. But I mean, if that team never happens, I would like to start watching the Braves. Are they? I know they've been doing good lately. Like, are they doing any better this year, or what's going on with them?
Well, it's been an up and down year. We recently been on streaks of 4 wins, and then what we. Before this another heartbreaking loss, we won 3 in a row. So,
oh, okay.
Right now, we're 29-30. My memory's correct there. This was I thought we were 1 out away from going over 500 for the first time. We just been catching some bad breaks, whether it's injuries, which have killed us all year. But we have some young guys that stepped up this season, though, so that's the positive side on that. Bullpen's been hit and miss, just like tonight. Closers continue to, who we signed for a 3-year contract, who gives up bombs and clutch moments, and just like this one here. But we have a couple of rising stars in the mix. We have Ronald Acuña Jr., who continues to mash. He hit his 18th home run last night. So, I mean, we have some stars on the team. It seems like we've been getting it going in here and there. We just haven't sustained it for quite some time like we did last year in the shortened season. They can do better, but so far this year, it's been one of those years this year that we can't. It just has been a staple of our year to this point anyway, so.
Hey, who did y'all play?
We're in the middle of a 3-game series with Philadelphia Phillies, so.
Oh, okay. And one more question I want to ask you real quick. You're a Falcons fan, right?
I am. This is true, yes.
Okay, I want to hear your thoughts real quick on the Julio Jones move to the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, it's... I'm totally fine with the move. I'm listening to a couple of Falcons podcasts actually that I like to listen to. Actually got done with 2 episodes today actually, and I'm okay with it. I mean, at first, I mean, still I'm still this sad that he's that it had to come to that. Obviously, The current regime of the Dan Quinn, Thomas Dimitroff, the old head coach and the old general manager, really screwed up his salary cap. Well, his contract situation there. I guess Julio Jones, come to find out, Julio wanted his money cut. He didn't want that much money. And
oh wow,
yeah, and the front office didn't want to do that, whatnot. So that's what started the whole down spiral with Julio Jones and the Falcons, unfortunately, money situation. And Julio's not the kind of guy that is going to be rah-rah, want all this money, this and that. And so That was really fortunate, unfortunate on that end, and they really screwed it up, and they really shouldn't, the front office at that time really shouldn't have given that money anyways, because the Falcons finally, you know, cleared all $15 million, if it was, and the Titans are going to take care of that situation now, but the Falcons still going to have serious issues for next year, including Julio's $7.7 million or something like that, some of the lines of that. So that's what started the whole thing, was that. So, and then obviously Julio, and he wants to win. So, and the Falcons haven't been winning in the last couple of years. So
yeah, I'm a Panthers fan, but I live like 45 minutes away from Nashville, so the Tennessee Titans are pretty much my second team, I guess. But that was like a huge move for the Titans, and it did sound like he wanted to get out of Nashville, because didn't he call like Shannon Sharp or Skip Bayless like during the show live that I'm getting out of Atlanta or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he called. Yeah, I thought that was funny, but
did he know he was live or?
That's what I'm trying. That's what I'm still trying to figure out, what was live or not. I'm not totally sure. I'm thinking that it was live myself, but I don't know. So
I feel like it had to be.
It had to be. And if it was, I mean, if it was, then it was like violating regulations or something like that. That I read on Twitter or something like that. Somebody posted an article that I came across or something like that. So, but yeah, that was funny, but kind of mad at the same time that he did that. But that was not unlike Julio to do that. But hey, you gotta do what you gotta do at least. But the Titans, from what I've been listening to anyways, you know, even though that's good for them, that they're gonna have the best 1-2 wide receiver punch in the NFL going into this coming season. But a couple of analysts said that Titans still have issues on the defensive side of the ball. So.
You're not wrong there. Yeah, that Derrick Henry in that offense is kind of carrying that Titans team pretty much. But, you know, Ryan Tannehill really never a passer. Like, they always hand it off to Derrick Henry, of course. But, I mean, if you're going to get Julio Jones, you better start throwing it in the air finally, because eventually somebody's going to figure out Derrick Henry, and then they're going to shut that offense down. So, He better make some targets, and Julio Jones better make some plays, and the Titans are going to make it far.
Yeah, that's for sure. So definitely going to be, whenever the Titans are on, still going to watch Julio play. There's no doubt about that. So definitely interesting to see. I mean, yes, A.J. Brown is the number one guy. He actually pleaded for Julio there. I believe on Twitter that I stumbled on his Twitter feed. So, I mean, he's got his wish.
The Titans desperately wanted him. Actually, Derek, I don't know if you saw this, but Derek Carey like offered to trade himself to get Julio Jones to the Tennessee Titans. Oh, did you see that?
I did not see that. I did not see that at all.
Yeah, Derek Henry was talking about like how, and Derek, this shows you how like selfless Derek Henry is. Like he said he would offer to like trade himself to the Falcons just to bring Julio Jones over there and help that franchise. So. That really says a lot about Derrick Henry, man. He's one of my favorite players in the NFL. I don't like the college he went to. he's one of my favorite NFL players in the entire league right now. Like, running back's my favorite position in the NFL. There's a lot of good running backs there right now. Chris McCaffrey, obviously, is my favorite. But, man, I love watching Derrick Henry play.
Yeah, Derrick Henry is definitely something at that running back position, I tell you that. I know we're way off the tracks here to start off, but
I just wanted to ask your thoughts on that. You being a sports fan.
You're totally fine. Aren't you a Carolina hockey fan as well, if I remember correctly?
No, I'm actually Nashville Predators.
Oh, okay.
The only Tennessee team I don't root for is in NFL. I started off as a Broncos fan because of Peyton Manning. But then he retired, and I'm like, do I want to stay with the Broncos, or what am I going to do? And I got plans on moving to Charlotte, like, here in a couple years, like, to try to find a NASCAR career. And I just like Carolina's colors, and, of course, Christian McCaffrey's another guy that I enjoyed watching in college. So that's pretty much why I became a Carolina Panthers fan. So I pretty much after Peyton Manning retired, I just screwed it and went to Carolina pretty much. But, and by the way, I could have – Pulver the Titans probably, but that was back when they were really bad. That was before Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill and all them. So, yeah, I was kind of a little too late with that, but it is what it is.
Dalton Good here on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. All right, so before we talk about the races last weekend, and of course, I'm reading some of your stuff about the All-Star race. Just tell our listeners how'd you get involved with NASCAR? How did you become a fan, and how did you become a Kyle Busch fan?
So I'll be honest with you. I mean, it's kind of a lame story, but like, have you ever pulled for a driver where like you pull for somebody who drives a certain car, and then when they retire, you just pull for whoever steps in next? That's pretty much what I did. So in 2002, I started as a Terry Labonte fan because I was in love with that Frost and Flakes car. That Frost and Flakes orange blue Tiger scheme was the paint scheme that got me hooked, basically. I started watching races with my dad. He was a Davey Allison and a Dale Earnhardt fan. And then I started watching with him one day when I was very little. That's just when I became hooked. And that Terry Labonte paint scheme just got me hooked into the sport. And so I started off as a Terry Labonte fan, but I started pulling for him when he was, you know, getting ready to retire. And then in 2005 and 2006, I kind of forgot about NASCAR for some reason. I just never watched it. I don't know why, but like I said, I just kind of forgot about it. But in 2007, I went to my Nana's house to spend the weekend with her, and we were all sitting in the living room flipping through the channels. And as they were flipping through the channels, I see that the driver intros for the Budweiser Shootout in 2007. I was like, wait a minute, go back. And then I instantly remembered it. And so my mom knew that Terry Labonte retired, and she told me that. And she said, well, Don, you're going to have to find a new driver now. I said, now, you know what, since who drives the 5 car? And she said Kyle Busch. I said, I'll just go with him. So I watched Kyle Busch run that night. He did pretty good. I mean, he led most of the laps, but kind of went away, like, in the final 10 laps of that race. And that's when I knew he was a good enough driver for me to pull for. And then that's basically how I became a Kyle fan. I followed him to the 18-car course, and now I'm here.
Yeah, that's... That's good.
Yeah.
And so, all right. So I'm actually going to start. Well, what do you think about overall the racing between Mid-Ohio and Sonoma last weekend? Obviously, we saw a couple of dominant performances. Obviously, Kyle Larson continues to win, and A.J. Allmendinger clearly had the best car out there in Mid-Ohio and had the rally from the back of the pack, which was fun to watch, all the way for the win. So, I don't know. Well, let me start with this. Did you watch the Xfinity Series race?
Okay, so I actually got called into work on Saturday, so I missed half of it. I didn't have to go into work Saturday, but I decided to just screw it and go to work anyway, like, just to get something over with. But I only went, like, half a day. And then right after work, I actually went to Nashville Super Speedway right after that. I just wanted to take a look at the track because I am heading there next week. I already got my tickets for that. So I just wanted to go ahead and look at the track for a little while. And then I came home at, like, the end of stage two. And that's pretty much when I started watching it. I was pulling for Ty Gibbs that race. Ty Gibbs had impressed the absolute hell out of me this year. Like, with him being a rookie and limited time schedule and him winning races and being so consistent already just really excites me. And I really like that kid. So I'm really pulling for him in the Xfinity Series. I can't wait for him to get a full-time ride there. But those final restarts were pretty intense. Like, I thought Austin Sindrick was going to run away with it, but of course, you know, we had those cautions. And then course, at the restarts, everybody's like doing everything they can to try to get as many positions on the restarts as they can to try to take the lead, and then it just got insane there for the final couple of laps. And of course, Cindric got spun, and that pretty much opened the door for A.J. Allmendinger to grab that win. So, yeah, not a bad Xfinity race. The Xfinity Series has definitely been the best series this year again. But I'm not really too big of a Mid-Ohio fan, but I gotta say, like, that was one of the best Mid-Ohio races I've watched.
Yeah, that was actually I would agree with you 100% on that. That was one of my favorite Mid-Ohio races to watch since they've come in to the Xfinity Series as well on the Cup side, which we're gonna dive into a little bit deeper there. Kyle Larson has won 7 straight stages, he's basically won 7 straight segments with 2 wins now. And I said on the podcast last week that it was going to be between Hendrick Motorsports and Joe Gibbs, which it was. But I knew Kyle Larson was going to be strong, but dang, he was in another zip code last weekend out there. So what are your thoughts on Hendrick Motorsports as a whole right now? That's like 3 weeks in a row we've seen Hendrick be up there in the top 5. Obviously, they finished 1-2 here a couple weeks ago at Dover. They swept the first 4 positions there, and they almost had that again. But KB had other plans. But Hendrick Motorsports right now is on something else right now.
Oh, dude, Hendrick Motorsports is back. There's no doubt about that. They finally found the right team here. So at the beginning of the season, I expected Chase Elliott to do much better coming off a championship season, and I expected Kyle Larson to finally do something too. I didn't really expect much from William Byron or Alex Bowman, but those guys are actually surprising me, especially William Byron. He's had so many top tens this year. He's been in contention every single week, so that's very impressive. I didn't think Alex Bowman was going to do anything in the 48 ride, but he's got 2 wins so far, so I'm really happy for him. But, man, Kyle Larson is probably the best thing to ever happen to Hendrick Motorsports. I'll be honest with you. He's already in another zip code. He's been in zip code all season long. And as a matter of fact, I feel like Larson should have more wins than he has this season right now. I feel like he should have won Miami. He should have won Atlanta. I don't know about Bristol Dirt. I wonder what would happen if he didn't get taken out, but maybe that. I think he should have won Kansas too, possibly Dover if the picker would have gotten the faster stop. Larson's just out of control right now. I mean, Joe Gibbs, like my favorite driver, Kyle Busch, like he knows that nobody's got a thing for Hendrick Motorsports right now. So I mean, that's really, really scary. If Kyle Busch is saying that, then everybody should really watch out because they really got something going on that nobody knows about. So but yeah, Kyle Larson, he's having a dominant season right now, and I'm already putting him as a championship contender for this November.
Yeah, it seems like kind of like a little bit of last year also with Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin until Harvick had his issues late in the playoffs there that had him miss the championship for. But yeah, Kyle Larson, yeah, and I said that as well in the podcast that he should have a couple more wins along with that as well. So definitely that's a warning. That's not good for the rest of the Cup Series.
Oh, no.
If he continues this on the stroll, they're going to be in trouble. Everybody's going to be in trouble. And Hendrick Motorsports, they're clicking on all cylinders right now. Obviously, I came across another read of tweet, or somebody said, I can't remember what it was, but it was on lines of, Larson did outperform Ganassi's equipment or something like that to that extent. So, but he's definitely proven that he's run up front and he stayed up front and he is leading a ton of laps and he is taking everybody to the woodshed. And man, he's something right now. That's for sure. That whole organization's clicking, and there's already talks about the possible. Is it possible that Hendrick Motorsports could be all 4 drivers being in championship 4. And that's just going back until a couple years ago. There was talk when Joe Gibbs was on their little run there of having all 4 drivers in their run. Now Hendrick Motorsports is having that talk as well. So Bowman has a couple wins already. So yeah.
Yep. I don't think they'll get all 4 cars in the playoffs. I honestly don't believe that. But I can't see at least 3 of them. I can see them doing like a Joker's Racing 2019 and getting at least 3 cars in there.
I gotta say, if I had to take out one hitter car for Final Four, I'm probably gonna vote Alex Bowman. I could definitely see him being a round of eight contender, but I don't see him being a Championship Four contender yet. Maybe if he does win more races, then I could probably change my mind. But as of right now, I'm gonna keep him out of the Final Eight just to be safe.
Okay, a little bit of postseason prediction here on the 3-Wide NASCAR Pilots EG3 there. So Bowman being the odd person out for Dalton's little prediction there. Ganassi or Speed Ganassi Racing, they had their strange engine issues at the Coke 600 a couple weeks ago, and they stand out in this top 10 that I pulled up on my laptop here. Ross Chastain has looked pretty good on his road courses here early on in 2021. He looked good at COTA, and he put on a show at Sonoma. He finished 7th. Kurt Busch needing to get a win to get into the playoffs or trying to point his way into the playoffs was off sequence with the leaders all day pretty much. Ganassi finished 6th and 7th there. And obviously Kurt's a former champion of the sport, Dalton there. So what are your thoughts there on the two drivers so far this year?
I'll be honest with you, I mean, I'm not really too high on Ganassi. I don't think Ganassi has been really a good team ever since 2017 when Kyle Larson won 4 races for him that year. I'm not really going to criticize Ross Chastain yet because, like, technically, this is his rookie season. And I know he's not a rookie, but, like, technically, he kind of is, you know what I'm saying, like a full-time rookie.
Right, full-time.
I kind of want to give Ross Chastain like 2 to 3 more years to show me something before I kind of give my opinion on him. But as for Kurt Busch, I don't think he's having a good season at all. I mean, he's struggling compared to all the other two seasons he's been at Chicken Nasty races so far.
Yeah.
Kurt could probably get a random win in the middle of the season like he usually does somewhere. I don't know where it's going to be. It could really be anywhere. But, Kurt's just not really having a good season. But I did hear rumors about, you know, him going to 23XI next year for a second car. So I feel like that's going to be a smart move for Kurt Busch. I just don't see him having more success at Ganassi. I feel like he can do much better.
Yeah, that's what I saw. That's what I'm reading as well. Yeah, Kurt Busch being rumored in 2311 has been talking about since really the start of the season trying to open up that second car for somebody to get in. So, yeah, definitely Kurt Busch would be a good candidate for that ride for sure. Kurt Busch, 18th in the standings, pretty much backs up what you just said, Dalton, there. Let's see. That's top five. Only one top five. So far.
Ouch.
Yeah, one top five so far through the first half as we've entered the All-Star weekend for the NASCAR Cup Series in 3 top tens, 3 DNFs, and if that number, yep, that is correct. 11 laps led for Kurt.
Yeah, that's a big oof right there. That's got to prove that point there.
Oh, man. Toyota State Mark 350, top 10 here. Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, Martin Truex Jr., Joey Logano, Kyle Busch was your top 5. Kurt Busch, Ross Chastain, Denny Hamlin, Alex Bowman finished 9th. Alex Bowman had all kind of damage and still found his way to finish 9th. And so did Ryan Blaney. He had some damage as well. He finished in a 10th position there. Finishing positions 11th through 15th include Eric Jones. Daniel Suarez coming up there in the top doesn't finish there. He and Michael McDowell renewed some vows over last weekend. Austin Dillon, Bubba Wallace finished 14th. That was a good rally for Bubba and that team. That team started to get some momentum there. They need to stay.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad at all.
Yeah, they
need to. Especially with Bubba like being so bad on road courses.
Yep.
Yeah, for him being like really bad at road courses and him overcoming from being lapped down and a flat tire to finish top 15, that's mighty impressive.
Yeah, I thought his day was done with that, but slowly but surely, quietly getting to the 14th spot right there. So yeah, he was up front a little bit. Cody before he had something happen there strangely at Coda, but here, nice top 15 finish for Bud Watson. That 23-11, they needed to be right there with Trackhouse, because Trackhouse has been impressive this year. I honestly didn't expect it. I honestly expected them to start getting better in the second half of the season, not in the first half of the season. So they're doing something right over there at Trackhouse. Daniel Suarez finished 12th, Bubba Wallace finished 14th, Brad Keselowski finished 15th, and he was going to be in probably, I mean, nobody could touch that five car last weekend, no. But Brad Keselowski was going to put himself in position, and I can't remember what it was. I think it was like a pit.
I think it was violation. A tire over the wall too soon or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, it was like somebody was over the wall too soon, and that put a damper on Keselowski's day there. Chris Buescher, 16th. Chase Briscoe, Corey LaJoy, Tyler Reddick, and Cole Custer, your top 20. Some notables here. Ryan Preece finished 21st. Kevin Harvick, 22nd. Matthew Benedetto, 23rd. Christopher Bell, 24th. Eric Almirola, 27th. Michael McDowell, who was up in the top dozen there, and then he got spun out late by Suarez, 28th. William Byron, 35th. He got involved in the late accident there that I believe forced one of the late restarts there to close out the race there. So that's kind of a notable stay. That's your Toyota St. Mark 350 rundown there. Dalton, you have... Oh, I'm going to go back to your guy, Kyle Busch, there for a few minutes there. How'd you feel? How was the race for Kyle Busch on last weekend out there?
Not bad at all. I mean, like you said, nobody had a thing for the five car, and I predicted Kyle would go back-to-back at Sonoma, and I got it right there, but I can't call that a bad day at all. I mean, nothing went wrong. It was a mistake-free race. It was a top five. We were consistent all day. I don't ask for much, so I thought I was completely fine. I mean, that 18 team has been very consistent, you know, getting top five, they're having speed, but like I told you earlier, I mean, he just does not have anything for the Hendrick team right now, and he even said it after the Copes and Sunder. He said, you know, for us, you know, we went to everybody's ass, but for Hendrick, we got problems, you know, and that's happened the second week in a row. So, but, you know, despite all that, I mean, top five is not bad at all. Happily taken, and we'll move on to, to the All-Star race. But even though I'm not looking forward to it, we're getting ready for Nashville next week. I will be heading to Nashville, so I'm looking forward to that race, but... Actually, I was, but I found out that the Pedigree car is going to be running at Nashville, so I don't know if I'm excited anymore. that Pedigree car is a damn curse, man, and we can't break it. So we'll see. I don't know, but I'm not getting too excited anymore.
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
Speaking of paint schemes, is Kyle running a different paint scheme for the All-Star race on Sunday?
Yeah, so it's a little different. It's called Internet Summary. Now, at first I was like, what the hell is that? usually I like to look up at the entry list or Jokic Race's website to see like what paint scheme everybody's running. The entry list... came Monday night after work, and I looked at it and said, "In the summer," I'm like, "What is that?" I literally had to look it up, like on Google, to see if I could find anything to see what it could possibly look like. And I click on images, and all it was like Eminem's mix bags and like different flavors. I'm like, "There was a summary for," so I had to tweet it, and I asked everybody, like, "Can anybody tell me what Eminem's summary is?" So apparently Eminem's summary is like a summer sweepstakes on their website. It's kind of like their promotion. I think you go to Eminem's.com and like there's a summary thing to where you can enter the sweepstakes and win M&M's, like you can buy M&M's bags, like with some prizes and stuff like that. It honestly looks the same as, almost the same as his normal M&M's card, but I mean, it's a little different. I mean, the M&M's characters are different. They switch like the colors all around the car, so it's not too bad. I dig it.
All right. I know we're jumping the gun a little bit. We still got unfinished business with the All-Star Race coming up this weekend on Sunday, and then next week, obviously, the return of Nashville. I'm looking forward to that race as well. So you got a good seat for where you're gonna be sitting at next week. You know what section that is.
So to be honest with you, I really haven't looked at it yet. I feel like it's section 122, something like that. I think it's like right in front of the flag stand. Really, there's only like one tiny grandstand that you have to sit at.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I just bought like the cheapest tickets. Like I got them for $50 each, and I'm taking my dad for a Father's Day. So that was his Father's Day present.
Nice, my mom
is going to buy my ticket for Christmas, but I had to buy Dad's. I'm just going to buy his Father's Day. But yeah, I think it's section 122, probably row 20. I think that's as close as it. I have to go back on there and look anyway because I got to download the app and put it on my phone so that I can have it scanned when I go there. But yeah, I will be heading to Nashville next Sunday, and I'll also be at the Xfinity race that weekend, too. I'm not going to Trucks. I don't want to get in a hurry after work to head down there. I'm just going to watch it at home, and then on Saturday, I'll be there for the Xfinity race.
Nice. That's a lot to look forward to next weekend. Yeah, sounds like you got an exciting weekend for Nashville coming up, so that's gonna be good.
Yep, so. And you see, now, Bristol was my home track at first. I was from Johnson City, Tennessee, which is about a 20-minute drive from Bristol. But I moved to Murfreesboro, which is 45 minutes out of Nashville. I moved here to go to college. I graduated a couple years ago, and now I have a full-time job now in Smyrna, which is a little bit close. Okay. So now Nashville Super Speedway is only 30 minutes away from me, so not a bad drive at all.
That's not a bad drive at all. That's a quick drive. So
Oh heck no, and I know where to go. I'm all ready to go, so everything's all good.
Nice. And going back to the starting lineup for the All-Star race on Sunday here, your guy's going to be starting the front row. Going to be starting second. Larson, this was from draw. This was not qualifying, folks. This was from random draw, so
Kyle. Random draw, I believe that.
Yeah. So Kyle Larson gets a start on. We'll start on the pole. Kyle Busch will start second. These are going to be the drivers that are already locked into the All Star race. So I'm just going to run it down. Christopher Bell, a winner at Daytona Road Course. He will be starting third. Cole Custer won last year at Kentucky. He's fourth. That's why he's in there. Austin Dillon will start fifth. The winner at Texas a year ago. Chase Elliott will start sixth. Row four, you have Joey Logano and William Byron. Of course, William Byron won at winner at Homestead instead of Larson. So, but Byron was strong out over there earlier this year. Logano, of course, a winner as well. Brad Keselowski, Talladega winner, he'll start ninth. Mark Trex Jr. 10th in row 5. Michael McDowell, your Daytona 500 champ, he starts 11th. Kevin Harvick starts 12th. Winless Kevin Harvick this year so far. Who would be saying that? Kurt Busch, Ryan Newman, row 7. Alex Bowman, Denny Hamlin in row 8. Ryan Blaney is right now inside row 9. So obviously we still have the open still to deal with as well. You're going to get three winners. And of course the good old fan vote as well. So I got done telling somebody early day that I was all pumped up for the Bristol All-Star Race last year, and that was a disappointment last year. So What were your thoughts last year about the all the Bristol All-Star experience with the whole lights underneath the car and whatnot, the numbers and and whatnot? That was a little weird.
Okay, yeah, so I was at the Bristol All-Star race last year. It was a shame I didn't get to go to the spring race last year with that last lap battle between Logano and Chase. Oh man, that would have been a good one. It really hurt me to see that, but once I saw the All-Star race coming to Bristol, I'm like, I'm not missing that, so I got my tickets for that. Now, as for the race itself, I really don't think it was as disappointing as some people say. I mean, was it the best All-Star race ever? Obviously not, but I'm going to tell you, like, it's going to be a lot better than what we're going to have this weekend for sure. I was going to predict that. I'll be honest, like, well, I didn't like how the lights were so half-assed. Like, if you're going to do it, like, make it all around the car. And also, I don't like how the colors were dependent on the manufacturer. Like, yeah, the Ford had blue, the Toyotas had red, and the Chevys had gold. I feel like the sponsors should have done that. Like, Kurt Busch's sponsor energy car should have been green.
Oh, yeah, and
that would have been nice. Like, Matt Kiss's McDonald's car should have had red. Kyle Busch should have been yellow. Like, whatever they want. It would have been a lot better. The number placement, it didn't really bother me too much. The only thing that did bother me about that was it was too small. I feel like if the number was bigger and if they moved it back, it wouldn't be so bad. But overall, I mean, it didn't really affect me too much. At least I was able to see, like, who was who. And now, as for the race, I feel like the only thing that affected it was I feel like the All-Star race last year at Bristol was way too short. For 150 laps at Bristol, that's pretty fast. That goes by pretty fast.
Yep.
And, of course, that's too short to have tire fall off and passes for the lead. So you got to make it longer. I feel like if they could have added, this might be crazy, but I feel like if they could have added 100 more laps to the format, I think it would have been perfect. Like, maybe the first segment could be 100 laps, the second and third could be 50 each, and then a 30-lap shootout for the fourth segment. I feel like that would have done better. You've had more battles, tires would have worn out, you would have seen some better racing. But, yeah, it wasn't bad. I mean, at least I got to go. I hope the All-Star race comes back to Bristol soon. I feel like they should have stayed there, to be honest with you, but that is what it is. So hopefully we'll get the All-Star race back in Bristol again, and maybe they'll do it a lot longer.
Interesting, yeah. Definitely going back to lights real quick before I read off the procedures for a Texas All-Star race on Sunday. But yeah, the Kurt Busch green light. Ooh, yeah. Yeah, that would have been pretty sweet.
Yeah, I saw that in Nashville for the burnouts on the Broadway during the championship week.
Yeah, that was at that point, that was awesome there. But yeah, they did it half-assed last year, so yeah, I did not like that part about that. So, but anyways, kind of going a year later, the All-Star race getting moved to Texas, which of course Texas loses one of their original races, obviously, and there's been a lot of obvious happies about that. You know, well, how the race has been going anyways at Texas, so why not change it up and try to do this with All-Star race now? This is a little bit confusing, but I'm going to read it off anyways. Maybe if I read it a couple times before Sunday, maybe I'll understand it, but right now I don't. But I'm going to read it anyways. So, starting lineup, obviously I just read off, was by random draw. So, round one. This is going to be six rounds. six rounds compared to last year. Wasn't it three or four rounds? Or was it, yeah, I think it was three.
It was four.
Four, okay, yeah.
Three to four, I think, yeah, like usual.
Okay, yeah, that's right. So, all right, so round one is going to have 15 laps. After this round, the field will be inverted, starting anywhere from 8th through 12th positions to be selected by a random draw. Okay. So, round number two.
Already lost.
15 more laps with the entire field afterwards inverted. Round three, 15 more laps. Again, the field will be inverted, starting anywhere from 8th through 12th position, selected by a random draw after the round is completed. Then round four, your standard 15 laps. No inversion, none of that crap. Round five, the longest, probably, yeah, this is going to be the longest round right here. 30 lap fought round five. The lineup from this round will be determined by cumulative finish. Oh, there's that word again. From the first four rounds with the best cumulative finisher starting from the pole. Any ties in the agitated score will be broken by, in order, parentheses, most career All-Star wins, most career Cup Series points race wins, or 2021 Cup Series driver standings. Oh boy.
Oh man.
All cars must enter pit road for a mandatory four-tire pit stop during this round. The crew with the fastest pit stop will pocket $100,000.
That's the only good part about it, in my opinion, so far.
Yep, is that the pit crew. Yes, I like that. And in the final round, of course, 10 laps. Cars will line up according to their finish positions from the previous round for the final segment. So six rounds, folks, to get ready for on Sunday. Yeah, round five being the biggest one there. A lot of line for the pit crews. I like that a lot. And I miss the pit crew challenge. I really miss that.
Yes, I want that back. That's back when the All-Star Race was good.
Yes.
Like you had that week with the All-Star Pit Crew Challenge. Everybody tuned into that. Oh, man, just take this baby back, bro. I miss it so much. I even miss the qualifying they had recently where you come into pit row like with no speed limit. And you have to make a mandatory pit stop. That was good, too. But, yeah, man, that All-Star Pit Crew was nothing else, man. Yeah. I miss it so much.
Yeah, I really miss that part of it. Yeah, when the All-Star weekend was really, really good. You had the pit crews really involved. Qualifying, yeah, especially no holds bar, fast as you can, which counts with your qualifying lap. So, yeah, man. So that's kind of what we're looking at for the All-Star Race on Sunday. There in the Open is before that, so obviously, I believe it's the same as usual there. You get your segment winners, and then your fan vote as well. So, Dalton, I want to get your thoughts real quick, fast on Texas Motor Speedway, obviously. So, what are your thoughts on the track, on the racing up until this point? Obviously, this is going to be the first All-Star race for Texas. Kind of give me your thoughts a little bit on just Texas Motor Speedway in general. How do you like the racing lately? Obviously, Kyle Busch, the last time the Cup Series was there, he won the race there in the playoffs. He wasn't in the playoffs, but he won the race there, keeping his streak alive. Tell me a little bit about Texas a little bit. What are your thoughts? You like it? You hate it?
Texas Motor Speedway is the worst track on the NASCAR schedule. You are never going to change my mind on that. Now, yes, I know Kyle Busch has four wins there, but I'll just go ahead and tell you this. Three out of four Kyle Busch's Texas wins never excited me at all. The one that did excite me was, of course, the last year's win, where I thought he was going to go winless, but he had the seasonal winning streak win last year in that beautiful Skittles Zombies game. One of my favorite Kyle Busch teams so far. I hope that comes back next year for Halloween. But anyway, yeah. I never really liked Texas Motor Speedway. I never was really a big fan of the track. But, however, back in the day, like, when it wasn't repainted, it wasn't terrible. I mean, you could use the high line. It was multi-groove. So, I mean, it was better than what we got now. But, of course, in 2016, you had the five-hour rain delays for, like, a small rain because of the weed burst. And so they said they had to repave it. I said, okay, I mean, good call. I mean, you got to do what you got to do. And Eddie Gossett, for some odd reason, decided to smoke just whatever he has and think, you know what? Let's just make the turns one and two even wider. I'm like, is that really necessary? Like, with that move, you just made the track so much worse. Like, literally all you had to do was just put brand new asphalt in and go home. Like, you really didn't have to spend the extra money, the extra time to just randomly make turns 1 and 2 wider. I mean, it was just totally unnecessary, and it just killed the track. But, and yeah, Aspen just all stories. I'm just not looking forward to it, man. It's going to be the same thing, but it's going to be a lot worse. This format is still confusing to me. I remember 2016 All-Star Race where they had that confusing format as well, where I think everybody had to make like a mandatory 2-tire pit stop, and a random caution came out with Jamie Murray blowing a tire, and that like made everything much worse, and nobody knew what was going on.
Yeah, that was bad.
And especially with the 510, they're going a lot slower. I don't know if you know this, but they're running a 510 horsepower package. The same package for these super speedways is going to be run on Texas.
I came across that. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
And the reason, and so the Bob Pockers got a question for that, and his explanation was they wanted to, like, make it closer. I'm like, you know, to be honest with you, it's not going to, if you're trying to turn Texas into Talladega or Daytona, it's not going to work. No matter what package you use, Texas is still a one-lane racetrack, and that PJ1 ain't going to do nothing either. I mean, you watched the IndyCar race a month ago. It doesn't even work on IndyCar. It just makes it worse. Nobody can run up there. It's too slick. Yeah. And, like, with no practice and qualifying, it's going to be absolutely slick, and nobody's going to want to go up there. So it's still going to be the same one-lane Texas race that you always see, but you're not going to see any passing. So honestly, like, I know I'm taking up a lot of time, but I just want to say, you know, I'm not really looking forward to this week. I'm just ready for Nashville. I mean, I'm going to be there as the first one. That's all that's on my mind right now, but, it is what it is.
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
I like the old Texas more than the current layout of Texas. So, yeah, Eddie Gossage or whoever came up with the plan of making it wider and whatnot, yeah, they definitely screwed up Texas Motor Speed for that sense there. So, I mean, we're using that word back in the day, Texas, the racing was all right. When you use the High Line, especially that, I love to see drivers go up there, make time up there, especially the middle groove, the low groove. So, yeah, that's gonna be a little tricky there. But the All-Star Open, obviously, the lineup is out for that. I want to go over that real quick here. Have a few more minutes with our special guest, Dalton Good, joining me tonight on this edition of 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Tyler Reddick drew the pole for the Open. So Chris Buescher will start second. Matt DiBenedetto third. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. fourth. Ross Chastain will start fifth. Bubba Wallace sixth. Daniel Suarez seventh. Eric Jones eighth. Chase Briscoe ninth. Eric Almirola will start tenth. Corey LaJoie, Anthony Alfredo, Quinn Houff, James Davidson, Josh Bolicki, Austin Cindric making some appearance here in the Open here. That's interesting there. Seal starts 16th. Cody Ware, BJ McCloy, Justin Haley, Garrett Smithley, Timmy Hill. 21 cars in the Open. And of course, 3 will move on via 7 winners. And then, of course, like I mentioned a couple times tonight on the pod, All-Star Van vote as well. So, I'm going to actually, Dalton, I'm just going to get you your predictions for the Open here. And not the All-Star itself. I'm going to let you get the predictions on who's going to get those 3 spots.
All right. Yeah, I think for the 4th year in a row, the Open will be the better race than the All-Star race. That's always the best show of the entire All-Star weekend. Like, those guys actually fight to get in it, and I expect to see the same thing.
Yep, yep, uh-huh.
So, yeah, and I actually love making predictions for this. So, I'm going to go ahead and say the 3 segment winners will be Tyler Reddick, Matt DiBenedetto, and Bubba Wallace. And I think the fan vote will go to Daniel Suarez, because right now, Daniel Suarez is actually leading the fan votes currently. So I think that's going to be my 4 that makes it to the All-Star race. Tyler Reddick, Matt DiBenedetto, Bubba Wallace, Daniel Suarez.
Ooh, yeah. I like that. I didn't realize that Daniel Schwartz was leading the fan vote there. So that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah, they released the top five. They only did it in alphabetical order. Like, they didn't say like how many votes got who or what.
Right, right.
But the top five is Suarez, Bubba Wallace, Chase Briscoe, which is kind of surprising, and Eric Jones. And I can't remember the fourth guy. Oh yeah, Matt Benedetto. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm gonna go quite a different direction here. I got Reddick. Yep, I like Reddick a lot here to get one of those spots. And I'm gonna say Chris Buescher will get one the way he's been running this year.
Not bad.
And the other, man, oh man, that's gotta be tough. I gotta say, my third is gonna be Benedetto or Ross Chastain. Goodness gracious, I gotta go with for sake of the show. I'm gonna go different. I'm gonna say Ross Chastain as the third one, and I like your Daniel Suarez out for the fan vote there, so I'm with you there on that one.
Okay.
So
those are not bad. I even like the Chris Buescher bit too.
Yeah, Chris Buescher's been pretty consistent this year. He's had a couple good top 10 runs there, so I expect him to really mix it up on the open. Over the past couple of years, yeah, I definitely like the open better than the All-Star race for sure. For some reason, I don't know, the All-Star race is like boring or whatnot, but the open definitely brings some excitement. So that's that on that. So the open will kick things off on Sunday, I believe, if I pull up my other screen here. Oh, my laptop here, folks. Okay, so that's the Cable World Truck Series. And while I'm on that, actually, the Cable World Truck Series will kick things off at Texas Motor Speedway on kicking off a doubleheader, actually. They're going to be on track noon Central Time there for that one. Then the Xfinity Series will roll off in the afternoon, 3 o'clock Central Time Zone, here in the Central Time Zone. There, and of course, the Cup Series. The Open is at 5 Central Time, which includes the 6 Eastern Time. Your time zone, Dalton, and of course, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 Central Time. The main show there. From what you said earlier, Dalton, about the Cable World Truck Series, you haven't been paying much attention to Cable World Truck Series, have you?
I've watched a couple Truck Series races this year. I've watched more than last year so far.
I've been keeping up with... I always like to keep up with Kyle Busch Motorsports.
Of course. Yeah.
Usually I like to pull for Kyle Busch in the Truck Series, but whenever he's not racing, I'm always pulling for Team KBM. And with John R. Nemechek downgrading to Kyle Busch Motorsports, I've got a lot more excited for that team, and they're finally worth watching again. So yeah, the Truck Series hasn't been bad this year at all. So, yeah, just pull for the KBM boys, just like every week.
All right. They're going to kick it off the doubleheader there, and John R. Nemechek's move. Obviously from Cup rookie back to the Truck Series has paid off to this point, and he's like Kyle Larson right now. He can't be stopped right now in the Xfinity Series, obviously coming off of Mid-Ohio there. Obviously, what have been your thoughts so far this year about the Xfinity Series? You already said they produced the best racing this so far this year, which I agree with that as well, so...
Yeah, the Xfinity race, I think, will be the best race of the weekend again. There's no doubt about that. Maybe the Open will probably be the only thing close to it. But, yeah, Xfinity Series should be a good show, too. I wonder what's going to happen with Noah Gregson and Harrison Burton again this year. There'll be another battle between that.
Obviously, last year in the playoffs there, Noah Gregson there. Was like three quarters of a lap away. I should say 1/4 of a lap away from winning that race and getting himself into the championship four. And Harrison Burton blazed past him there, basically in one. Harrison Burton was not in the playoffs there at that point in time there and just took the win out of his sails. Speaking of Noah Gregson, what a strange few weeks for that team there. Lots of bad luck. I kind of talked about this on the Loose Loves podcast a little bit a few weeks ago there. Kind of what are your thoughts? And then what are your thoughts on Noah so far here? Midway through the season, no wins. His points, he's had an opportunity. Obviously, Homestead comes to mind, but we all know what happened there. So what's up with Noah?
I'm starting to worry about Noah Gregson, to be honest with you. I spent a lot more out of him this year, but I feel like he's still running good. I still feel like he has fast cars every single week. He's just always running into something. It really reminds me of Kyle Busch's season last year. You know, I mean, Kyle Busch was fast in some races. I mean, he could have won some races last year, but he either shot himself in the foot or got caught in someone else's mess. And, of course, I remember Homestead. Everybody was picking him to win, and I thought he was going to win, too, because that's his best track. And even my dad put money on him. He would have won $80 if Noah Gregson would have won. And he just got into DraftKings this year, and he asked me, "Dog, I'm going to bet for Xfinity Homestead. Who should I bet?" I said, no hesitation, Noah Gregson. You have to pick him. Everybody's picking on him. This is his best try. You have to do it. And I went down there this weekend to watch it with him. And he had to leave to go drop off some barbecue to somebody. And I stayed and watched the race. And while he was gone, he said, I want you to let me know if Noah Gregson wins. I said, sounds good. He left with about 40 to go. And Noah Gregson had like a 10-second lead. And then with 3 to go, the accident happened. And so I was immediately upset. So the first thing I did was call my dad, and the first thing he said when he answered was, "Did I win any money?" I said, "No." But yeah, I don't know what's going on with Noah Gregson this year. To be honest with you, I hope he can turn stuff around, but it's not going to be easy. But if he don't have a win, I say by August, I don't think he'll go far in the playoffs this year at all.
So definitely we'll see what happens there with that camp. 9 there trying to find its way as well. So, all right, I'm going to get you out of here on this. Dalton, appreciate you jumping on the podcast tonight. This episode, I believe, will be out Saturday evening at some point. So definitely, folks, definitely go check that out before the All-Star races go down on Sunday as well. So obviously, Dalton, there's been talks about 16 winners before the playoffs start. Obviously, we got all in. There's so far 12 different winners to this point. Obviously, 4 yet to have win. Obviously, that one of those being Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin. Actually, 5. I'm going to take that back. Yeah, Denny Hamlin and Kevin Harvick have not won yet. And despite Denny Hamlin running good early on this year, he still hasn't won. So I'm going to leave it like this. So how many wins will Denny Hamlin and Kevin Harvick have by the end of the season?
Okay, so I am more confident in Hamlin getting a win this regular season than Kevin Harvick as of right now. I'm not going to lie. I'm actually kind of surprised that Kyle Busch got a win for Denny Hamlin this year. Because I remember after Phoenix, NASCAR Race Hub asked which Joe Gibbs racing driver is going to get their next win first. Is it going to be Kyle or Denny Hamlin? I said, oh, it sure as hell going to be Denny Hamlin. But Kyle got the win again. So I'm like, Hamlin, what are you doing, buddy? But no, I mean, Hamlin's running consistent. I mean, he's fast up there, but of course not fast enough for the Hendrick bunch, obviously. But I feel like Hamlin's got to slip in a win at some point. Pocono's coming up here in a couple weeks, so I got a feeling he'll win one of those weekends in that doubleheader weekend. Now, as for Kevin Harvick, I'm starting to worry a little bit. Now, I mean, there's still tracks on the schedule that Harvick can definitely win at, like Pocono, Michigan. I feel like there's one more. Oh, yeah, maybe Atlanta again, but he didn't run good at Atlanta in March, and that was and pretty much after that Atlanta race, that's where I started to worry about Kevin Harvick. I didn't know he was going to do anything this year. So to answer your question, I feel like Hamlin will get 2 to 3 wins. And I feel like Kevin Harvick will go, he'll either go winless in the regular season, or he'll get at least one win, no more than that.
Okay, all right. So, Harvick, no wins here in the All-Star break, and Denny Hamlin, who's been running stellar, who started off 2021 hot, no wins so far in the All-Star break so far. So, interesting. So, we'll keep our eyes on that. Dalton, sir, where can everybody find you on social media?
All right. So, you guys can find me on Twitter, mostly, at DaltonGood18. So just go ahead and give me a follow there. That's where I'm on the most out of all social media. But you can also find me on Instagram at DaltonRattyBush18. But I suggest following my Twitter, man. I've been here for a while. I like to be funny. I like to entertain people. So you don't want to you really don't want to not follow me there. Lots of good content coming for National Week. I will go ahead and say this: if you are in love with guitars and you have Dale Jr. tattoos on your arm, you're really going to hate me for Nashville next week. I'm probably going to be bringing up the Guitar Smash probably all week long. And speaking of that, I got a special announcement for that. I'm not going to leak it yet. I'm going to wait till Nashville week. So if you want to know what it is, follow me on Twitter, and I'll leak it sometime during Nashville week. But yeah, that's where you can find me, buddy.
Ooh, leaving us with a little teaser. That's what I like right there. I like that a lot. Awesome,
now,
awesome stuff.
I will say this. As of right now, it's something I made, and it's for myself. But if people are interested, I may or may not sell it to people. I don't know for sure. But like I said, that's all I'm going to say. I'll probably leak it, release it Monday, sometime Monday for National Week. But yeah, just keep an eye on it, bud.
I'll definitely keep my eyes out on that. That's the way we end the episode, right, just like that. Dalton, sir, it's been a blast having you on my podcast once again, and we met on the Loose Lugs podcast, so I'm sure we're gonna be chatting up again, but definitely I'll be following on that as well. So have fun in Nashville next weekend, and yeah, so we'll be talking again soon, my friend.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. Dude, seriously, I had a lot of fun talking with you tonight, man. This is really fun. Just thank you for having me on. I hope I get to talk to you again soon. But one more question I want to ask you. Will you be in Atlanta next month?
I have no idea yet. I gotta check my wife's calendar, cause I might be going to Colorado. I'm not 100% sure yet, but I have not been back in the state of Georgia quite a while, so not sure yet. You're gonna be there. Are you planning on being in Atlanta?
Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, it was just announced that I will be heading to Atlanta for the first time in my life next month. So
sweet, man.
My friends down at the Stock Car Spectacle podcast, which you should check out, by the way, they're all from Chicago, Illinois. So Chicago Land, of course, was their hometown track. Unfortunately, it's not on the schedule anymore, so they got nowhere to go. Their closest track was Road America, but they tried to look at it. They were going to go there first, but camping was sold out. And they decided, you know what, screw it. We're all going to go to Atlanta. And Ian Jordan, who's on the Stock Car Spectacle, We're all in a group chat together, and he said, "Don't you should join us." I'm like, you know, I don't know. I did not have any plans of going to Atlanta at all this year, but then I looked up the drive, and it was only 3.5 hours. Now, I drive 4.5 hours from Johnson City to Nashville almost every month. I said, you know what? Give me a ticket. So, yeah, I'm going to Atlanta now, but I hope to see you there. If not, if you do go, I'd like to meet you, bud.
All right, I'll let you know. Yeah, send me that the name of that NASCAR podcast. Again, message me the NASCAR podcast again.
Yeah, I got you. It's a Stock Car Spectacle. They have not released any episodes yet. A lot of them are getting back to work right now. Now that the pandemic's pretty much all but over with, but they should be back soon. We're probably going to do a special episode for that race week, hopefully. But yeah, you guys give those boys a follow. They're my buddies. We've talked to
each other for about a year now. We haven't met in person yet, but we're finally getting ready to. And man, I'm just so excited. My first Atlanta race. It's going to be a hot one, but I'm really excited for it, man.
It's definitely going to be hot, that's for sure. Yeah, I will definitely let you know my plans for next month. That's for sure, man. Awesome.
All right.
Wherever you get your sports podcasts, Spotify, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and more. We'll talk to you next time, going three wide.